I think, Matt, I need that little... There you go. Thank you. Well, folks, today we continue what Mike started last week. We're kind of at the halfway mark. If you hadn't done this in your brain yet, this is the beginning of the last half of this year. And so we started this series on growing the kingdom last January. The first 2 months we looked at the growing in faith, and then the next 2 or 3 months growing in spirit. And today we continue with Mike, what Mike Broyles introduced us to last week in growing in service. And then you see what's coming up between now and the end of the year. Bow your heads with me. God, we are glad to be your children. It is my hope and my prayer that each of us have worshiped you already in spirit and in truth as we gathered around the table, as we lifted our voices to you, as we've been led before your throne earlier in prayer. Thank you. Thank you that we are your children. Thank you that you have adopted us. Thank you for independence that we have. Independence from the old life, independence from sin. That as Christians we can enjoy liberty and freedom. Thank you. We just want to live a life of service to you because of how good you've been to us. Hear our praise this morning. God, would you direct us as we continue this series in growing the kingdom. We want to be kingdom people, every one of us in this room. We want to be all about your kingdom. That was the Lord's prayer. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Help us to that end. And particularly today, as we continue for the next couple of months, then that series on growing in service. God, help us to be servants. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus, our Lord. And amen. I had a dream last night. I'm not big on dreams, but I did. I had a dream. Early this morning, I woke up and I dreamt I was down at Peking Buffet. Any of you ever go to Peking Buffet? Let me see your hand if you've ever been. Okay, you know Peking Buffet is a good place to eat, right? But this was not a good dream because I dreamt that when we got there, I was trying to be a servant. And so I'd let some of the senior citizens, even help some senior citizens that we were with, I'd let them go first. And then for some reason I had my grandkids with us that day, and so I helped the grandkids, and I took the grandkids back to their table, and I went back again, and when I got back again, Peking Buffet, it was the end of the buffet hour, and there was no food left. Actually, there was a little bit of food. As they'd cleaned it up, it was obvious that they'd scattered some rice on the floor. I mean, that was a real dream, and I thought, Catherine, because of her background as a therapist, is big in interpreting dreams. And I thought, what in the world could this dream mean? And I don't know, Catherine, we'll talk about this later. I don't know. I think at least one of the things that came to me is I just feel like we've fed very richly these last couple of weeks with Chris Seidman with us and that wonderful series that he did on Jesus being the game changer. And then what Mike did last week as he kicked off this theme, I thought, I hope Dan Cooper has something more than morsels to give, some dried rice that is thrown by the side. And we're going to. I can tell you this, we're going to. But we're going to start with reading from John chapter 13. I hope you'll turn there with me. What a great introduction. I'm calling this sermon today, WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? By the way, before we jump into the lesson, the heart of the lesson, I want to just publicly thank Mike again for what I thought he did a stupendous job of getting us started off there. And I want to ask you this as well. How many of you gathered in our church parking lot, either as servants or as spectators, to watch the fireworks go off this past Friday night? Could I just see your hands if you were here? Hold them up high. Well, listen, next year, I just want to tell you, if you're going to watch the fireworks on July 4th, this is the place to be. I mean, this is a good place to be. Now, of those people that held up your hands, how many of you were actually involved in carrying the water or the hot dogs to the hundreds of people that were in our parking lot around? Hold up your hand. Okay, a handful of us. Yeah, good. Thank you. Can we give them a round of applause, those servants? Yes. By the way, I think we've started a new tradition. I hope so. It was just a phenomenal night as we got to see the people, not through a word that we spoke, but we got to say the people that were in the parking lot. We are a church that is serving others. And that's what I want us to be known for, as a church that serves. And particularly as we kick off this series right now, it's a new emphasis. It's a rededicated commitment to being a church that serves. And you know, Mike, the way you started last week, Mike is usually sitting right down there. Where did you went and changed seats again? It's okay. Anybody else changing seats today? Larry and Fran changed seats. Garth, man. Dave Perrine is sitting over there. Wow. Okay. That's a little bit about being a servant. I have a story to tell, but I won't tell it right now, about a visitor that walked into a church just last Sunday and was told as she walked into the church by a regular member, "I'm sorry, you're sitting in my seat." Visitors don't know that we do have assigned seats. And so if a visitor sits in your seat, leave them alone. Just let them sit there. It's okay. Yeah. Any rate, Mike, I like the way you started, because this call to service, this call to being growing in service, you started off by just reminding us of some of the things that we do. And I went back and I recounted some of them. As a matter of fact, one of the things that's already started here this week is this family promise. We serve as a host to families that don't have a home this week. It started last night. We will have people here every single night this week who don't have homes, and we are their home for the week. Several dozen of you have already signed up to either just be a hospitality person. Some of you said, "I'm going to spend the night." Some of you said, "I'll drive the van back and forth to get them back and forth to where they need to go." But this morning, this was not part of my notes. This morning, as I was between Bible class and worship, John Ashton, who is coordinating this week, said, "Dan, could you make this announcement?" I said, "Not only will I make it, I'll weave it into the sermon." So this is what we still need some more servants to help with Family Promise this week. We need another cook. We already have one. We need a cook for Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday night. Just somebody who will help cook. We have the primary cook both nights. And so you can sign up on the table. There's a sign-up sheet out there. Or John Ashton, where are you? John, stand up so we can all see what you are, who you are, where you are. There you go. See John Ashton. If you would help cook Thursday, Friday, or Saturday night. We need an evening host Saturday. And then we need somebody to actually spend the night here Friday night. So if you want to begin applying this call to be a greater servant, if you want to begin applying it today, you can catch John before you leave today and say, "Sign me up to be a servant." So we're doing Family Promise. Dozens of you have helped serve the Wednesday night meals. Once again, this coming Saturday, we're going to Trenton to help serve the homeless in Trenton. And I think there were several slots up there. And maybe you can't go physically, but you want to donate some money to help raise that $500 that it costs to serve the people up there in Trenton. Some of you are working with Child Safe. We have a team that's going to serve in Honduras this coming. Get this. They leave at 3:30 this coming Thursday morning, and they're going to go build, here is it, latrines and conduct a vacation Bible school. I think latrines is a fancy word for bathrooms. They're going to build bathrooms, and they're going to teach a vacation Bible school. Some of our teams, is it today, Tim, you're going to Sunset Auditorium, or next week? Today. Some of our teams are going to clean up one of the auditoriums that is in Pittman. Why? So we're already doing so much, and we've already given a round of applause to the people that were serving this past Friday night. The truth is, that many of us in this room, like the disciples in the first century, we really do need to step it up when it comes to service. That's the truth. I think a lot of us are already very well balanced, if I may make that observation. We've got this service business down, and we've got a good balance between serving those outside, serving those in need, serving the church, serving the family, and some time to just be still and know that God is God. Psalms 46:10. And if the truth were furthermore known, there might be some of us who may need to slow down a little bit because we're a little obsessive compulsive about this service business. And we get all of our satisfaction from doing, 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 doing. We're busy, busy, busy all the time, and we never stop and be still. And so we've got all kinds of categories. Those who could be doing more, those who got it pretty well balanced, and those who may need to slow down and step aside and let somebody else step up to serve. If you have your Bibles, would you read with me from John 13? You know, we really can't talk about being a servant without talking about the ultimate servant. Only a few hours before he's about to be offered as a sacrifice, I guess you could say the ultimate act of service, John chapter 13. You know the story. Verse 1, before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that he would depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Well, guess what? The end is here. It's about to happen. During supper, the devil already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he had come forth from the Father, was going back to God, got up from supper, here we go, laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Mike alluded to that. The week before, Chris Seidman alluded to that story. He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. And he came to Simon Peter and said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? And Jesus said to him, what I do, you do not realize now, but you will understand hereafter. And Peter said to him, never shall you wash my feet. Jesus answered, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said, Lord, then wash not only my feet, but my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. Verse 11, for he knew one was betraying him, for this is the reason that he said, not all of you are clean. Then notice verse 12, when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, he reclined at table again. He said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, wash your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet, for I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. This being July 4th weekend, I thought it would be an appropriate time to tell the story from the Revolutionary War period. I read a book on George Washington this past week. It was a short book, and it was a fascinating book, one of our founding fathers. And I realized with a new clarity what an absolutely phenomenal man he was. He was a man who stood 6'3" tall, which is a pretty good-sized man in these days, but it was an even bigger man in these days. And yet, even though most of the peoples that were living in what we eventually came to be called the United States of America came from lands and came from regions where there were kings that ruled, where there was an aristocracy, and that's what they could have expected, many of them were prepared to make George Washington the first king. But this big 6'3" impressive man had other plans. One day, during the Revolutionary War, the story is told that He was riding in civilian clothes, not in his normal attire. And as he rode by, a group of soldiers was repairing a small defensive barrier, and the leader was shouting instructions to them, but making no attempt to help them at all, asked why Washington, the rider who was in disguise, since he wasn't in uniform. The corporal said, "Sir, I am a corporal." The stranger apologized, dismounted, and proceeded to help the exhausted soldiers build the defensive barrier. The job done, he turned to the corporal and he said, and I quote, "Mr. Corporal, next time you have a job like this and not enough men to do it, go to your commander in chief and I will come help you again." It was none other than George Washington. Maybe one of the reasons he was such a great first president is because he could have been king and he opted not to be. And even after he'd run and won his first term, he was reluctant to serve for the second term because he wanted to give, in this new country that was being founded, he wanted to give the right for others. And against his will, he was persuaded then to run a second term and to rule for another 4 years. Today's conversation with Jesus is more than words. You've seen the bracelets that said, "What would Jesus do?" What I want to suggest to you, maybe today what we're going to be looking at is, what did Jesus do? Not what would he do, but what did Jesus do? And what Jesus did is what we're wanting to imitate during this next two-month emphasis here at this church, as we continue to emphasize growing the kingdom. In the book that we're currently studying on Wednesday night, The Externally Focused, one of the classes that's meeting down in the chapel on Wednesday nights, the authors of the book tell the story that Chuck Colson told. Chuck Colson described a prayer breakfast he had attended. And in the room at the National Prayer Breakfast were many, many, many important and powerful people. The President of the United States was there. House of Representatives was there. Congress was there. The Senate was there. Other world leaders were there. However, he noted that the most powerful person in the room had no title, was small in stature, and had very few financial resources. But when she spoke, even presidents listened. Mother Teresa's power stemmed not from position, not from title, not from wealth, but from her role as a servant. You see, Chuck Colson said she had earned the right to be heard through a lifetime of service. If our church wants the right to be heard, we need to serve our community. Jesus boldly proclaimed to his first century followers, "I came not to be served, but to serve." When Jesus washed his disciples' feet, he showed us several important truths about serving others. The first thing that caught in my attention is the importance or the priority of serving. It was just before the feast of the Passover. Jesus knew that his time had come. The disciples that he was about to wash their feet, they didn't get it. They just thought they were doing this Jewish feast day, observing the Passover. And Jesus knew what was happening. And let me ask you this question. What would you do if you knew that you had only a matter of hours to live? Would you be alone in prayer? You'd want some solitude? Would you rally family around you for some last words? Spend some time with those you love. Would you share your favorite recipes? Or maybe some gardening tips that you'd like to pass along to people that you're friends with? Well, my guess is that if any of us in this room knew we had only a few hours left, that we would spend our time emphasizing what we really thought was important. And so I think we find our Lord not just teaching a lesson, but teaching what He thought was a very important lesson hours before He is crucified. The Bible says that when His time had come to leave this world, He took off His cloak and He put a towel around His waist and He began to wash the feet of His disciples. He wanted to show them in a very tangible way what His ministry was all about. He was all about service. Philippians chapter 2, and the Apostle Paul got this. He says, "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider other people better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. Your interest should be that of Jesus Christ, who, though He came in the appearance of God, He did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but He emptied Himself, taking on the form of a servant. He was became made in human likeness. He humbled Himself." He humbled Himself. Why? Because He wanted to show the full extent of His love. He wanted the people to get what was really important as He's about to leave them. Mother Teresa, again, let me give you another example of towards the end of the 20th century. She was here in the U.S. She was visiting in Phoenix, Arizona, to open a homeless shelter for the poor. During the brief visit here, she was interviewed by KTAR, the largest radio station in town. In a very private moment, one of the interviewers caught her aside and asked if there was anything he could do for her. He was expecting her to request a contribution or media attention to help raise money for this homeless shelter. Instead, she said, "Yes, there is something you can do for me. Find somebody else, or find somebody nobody else loves, and love them. Find somebody nobody else loves, and love them." Serving others, demonstrating our love, is what Jesus taught and what this church is really emphasizing these next couple of months. And again, we're emphasizing it not because we're not already doing a good job. We've illustrated that. And I've only mentioned a handful of the things. But wondering if maybe we can do an even better job of communicating to our community, this is a church that is about serving the community. Secondly, I want to suggest to you, I think we see from this story, verses 3, 4, and 5, that Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under His power, and because He had, Jesus had confidence in His authority. As He took off His outer garment, He wrapped that towel around His waist. He poured water into the basin. Scripture says that not just in spite, but because He understood who He was. He wasn't trying to prove that He was God's Son and doing these great works, but because He was God's Son, He said, "This is what God's children do. They serve. It's not because I'm trying to earn my way into heaven and do all these great things so that the people will know us. No, it's because I am God's child. That's what I do, because that's what God's children do. They serve other people." Matthew 23. The world tells us we need to make ourselves look good. I want to look good. Did you notice? I have a second flag tie. Last week I wore one flag tie. Today I have another flag tie. I said, I think people will like that. I want to look good. We all want to look good. But Jesus is saying, no, by His service, I want to look like a servant. I want to be about God and about God's things. Like the corporal who wouldn't humble himself and help his soldiers. The commander-in-chief comes along and says, "Let me help build this defensive barrier." Willing to humble himself. The late founder of Wendy's, Dave Thomas, was known for his humble acts of service, even within his multi-billion-dollar corporation of Wendy's. When asked what made him so successful as the founder of Wendy's, he said, "It's my MBA." Somebody cocked their head and MBA. He said, "It's my mop and bucket attitude." In other words, no task was too insignificant. No job was too little. He wasn't too good to be a servant. He simply joined in and helped to get the job done. Dave Thomas, a high school dropout, he was always ashamed of that fact. It would have been easy for him to have enjoyed the success that he had and to bark orders to somebody else. Instead, he lived the creed of the MBA, the mop and bucket attitude. Jesus, the Lord of the universe, did the same thing. If anyone didn't have to humble himself and become a servant, if anyone didn't have to do that, it would be the very Creator. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John 1 says that Jesus was in the beginning with Him. So here we have the Creator of the world coming down, being a servant. I think the third thing Jesus showed us by washing feet today, in today's conversation with Jesus, or about Jesus, is the exchange that He and Peter had. And I want us to just reflect upon that a moment. Verses 6, 7, and 8, and 9. Lord, are You going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, You do not realize right now what I'm doing, but you will understand later. No, you will never wash my feet, Peter said. Jesus said, unless I wash your feet, you have no part with Me. And the Lord said, or Simon's Peter said, then Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Peter maybe demonstrates a little false humility here, I think. I don't think it's true humility. I think it's probably embarrassment that he hadn't thought of it first. I think there's some symbolism here. Sometimes, because of who we are, we let other people serve us, and we're not too proud to accept service from others. And there are some in this auditorium today who just need to hear the Peter reminder. We don't always have to be the ones who are obsessively serving others. Sometimes the most humble thing we can do, church, is let other people serve us. And that's another lesson we learned from John 13. Yeah. Our need is to be served by Him. Lest we recognize the mistake of our pride. None of us is good enough on our own. We all need help sometimes. Amen? And if you're one of those like me that likes to be in the middle of everything and always making things happen and always involved, oh, it's humbling to let somebody else serve you. Oh. These weren't in my notes. I'll save them to next week because we're going to talk about service again next week. But one just a perfect example just popped into my mind. Our need to be servants. Yeah, we need to let other people serve us. But then skip on down verses 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. When he finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes, returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for them? He said, you call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so. This is what I am. Jesus is basically saying, if I, your teacher, your Lord, found it necessary to serve you, then you should serve others. In fact, to serve is what it means really to be a good leader. George Washington, perfect example. We cannot call ourselves followers of Christ in the truest sense of the word unless we humble ourselves. Doesn't mean that we don't have individual gifts of service. Some of us are individually gifted servants. And when Chris Seidman was with us, he had people raise their hands and volunteer the names of other people. Who are some servants in this church? And you could do that. We're not going to do that right now, but you know who they are. There are just some people who are natural servants who just it comes without even effort. They're just going to serve. For the rest of it, it's like, no, we're naturally ones to let other people serve us. Some of us are gifted servants. Jesus says we need to be servants. You say, though, foot washing really isn't about foot washing. It's really about serving others at personal sacrifice. About humbling ourselves when we don't have to, because we don't have to. It's about watching somebody else's children so that they can go to conduct a Bible study with somebody that needs a Bible study. It's about showing up early to meet and greet visitors here at this church on a Sunday morning. Ah, somebody else will do that. No, somebody else won't do that. It's about listening to a neighbor who needs to talk and not being so busy that we don't have time to talk. And probably one of the hardest testing grounds is, and I'm still working on this, it's about being a servant in your family. Dads, moms, changing roles, taking the role of your wife, guys doing laundry, helping with the meal. You know, the women's stuff, that stuff. I've gotten good at that lately. I don't want to be bragging. But I've done more laundry in the last year than I ever thought I'd do in my life. But it's okay, Catherine. It's okay. She's going to have knee replacement surgery so she can go up and down the steps again. Yeah, so. Serving. We're doing great. This externally focused church, though, we're going to make a commitment to reevaluate where we are. And maybe some of us step it up a bit, and maybe others step aside a bit and say, hey, here's a way you can serve. Let me show you. Let me help you learn how to do it. Serving. I did this as an example for you, Jesus said. Let's pray. Holy God, wow. Thank you. Thank you that the Creator, the Designer of heaven and earth, who was there when it all began, it still blows my mind that He humbled Himself, first of all, by becoming a man. He took on flesh. It's like He became a little ant, or He became a cockroach so He could enter our cockroach world. He just, all of the dignity and all the power and all the awesomeness of a divine being, He emptied Himself of that and became a man. He did all that because He wanted to teach us how to serve. He wanted to teach us, and specifically His disciples, that if you're going to be great, it's not that you sit on the right hand or the left hand of the king. It's not about that, God. It's about serving. So God, help us to follow His example. You know, it's not particularly our tradition to wash feet. If it were, God, help each of us to be foot washers. But maybe it'll be scrubbing somebody's toilet. That's the way we wash feet. Or watching somebody's kids as they conduct a Bible study. Maybe it'll be flying off to Honduras and building bathrooms. Maybe it'll be getting out of bed 30 minutes earlier and coming and helping to greet visitors as they come in on Sunday mornings. God, I do know this. I know this for a fact. To become a servant, It takes some thought. It's not always automatic. I wonder what Jesus was thinking. I wonder how it came about that as they gathered in that upper room, He looked around and He saw, uh-oh, something's been forgotten. And maybe others noticed it. But the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is the one who wrapped the towel around His waist, who poured the water into the basin, and who began to serve. God, help us to be looking for ways to serve. Not running away from it, but looking. And God, sometimes some of us just need to let others serve us and not be the ones that have to be always the servants. And so You know our needs. You know our weaknesses. But God, just as we focus on this series during this month and next month, and as we focus on growing the kingdom, God, help us to learn what it means to be a servant. There may be some here today that are wanting to say, I want to be a better servant. I don't know, but we're going to wrap this up, and we just ask that You'll work in each of our hearts. Maybe it'll be visiting a sick person later today. Maybe it'll be taking communion to somebody later today. Maybe it'll go to visit a widow. We want to be servants, God. We want to get outside of ourselves. Help us to that end. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. If I can say it, the master servant, the greatest servant ever. Thank you. We want to be His children. In His name, amen. If you're in any way subject to the invitation, together as we stand and sing, would you come?